Hey listeners, secret listeners, new listeners, this is B-Side. I am taking this episode on by myself, as Alicia will not be joining us for this one. She is somewhere in the Dominican Republic drinking all the drinks that she's earned with Peter. I am sitting down with Gunner Richard Muth, Senior Marine Instructor of Gloucester High School of the MCJROTC. I wanted to let you know that I was one of Gunner's very first pain in the ass students back in 1996, and this is why this episode is kind of special and dear to my heart. May is also Military Appreciation Month. When Gunner announced his retirement, an outpouring of love and appreciation was shown for him. And with that being said, I reached out to some ROTC alumni, people I honestly didn't know, people that commented on his post, which he's going to find out about this when he hears back. It's going to be great. Actually, some people were brothers of friends of mine. And I asked them to do a little thing for me, and they came through, and it was very, very touching. I even reached out some former colleagues of Gunner's. So with that being said, I want to give a special appreciation to Lisa Cusimano Gray, Kara Wagner, John Blair, Jackie Campbell Gross, Annette Parco, Jen Mizoraka Dustin, Sarah Bondarev, Kayla Pinkham, Rick Moore, Aaron Smith, and Peter Canavo for helping me out with this podcast tonight in this episode. Also, I want to say that I want to give a huge shout out to Lisa, Kara, John, Jackie, Annette, Sarah, Kayla, Aaron for their service to the military. You know, thank you for your service and your sacrifices as well. You guys are incredible, and we do appreciate you here at Alicia Unleashed and Good Morning Gloucester. So with that being said, I've rambled on enough. This is going to be a long episode, but I feel like Gunner Muth is definitely worth it. So enjoy the show, guys.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed. Bitches.
Good morning, Gloucester. It's B-Side. I'm alone today, but you heard that in the introduction. I am sitting with Gunner Richard Muth, who was my ROTC teacher back in, well, we won't say what year, 1996. Introduce yourself.
Well, you already told him who my name is. I've been here since 1996, so it's 23 years. We've been doing ROTC and doing great things, and kids are great here in Gloucester, and I'm retiring at the end of this year.
So you've been the educator for 23 years. What does that mean to you? Like,
I think in some ways it can be some of the most rewarding things that you can possibly do. And it's not necessarily the honor students that go on and get scholarships and go to Harvard, and those are all nice, but it's the kid who's struggling to make it through school, and somehow you feel like maybe you had a piece of that when you see them graduate.
And how old were you when you became a teacher?
Ooh. 40.
Really? Shit, I thought you were younger. Oh, sorry. No. My bad. Didn't mean to swear.
I might have been 39.
Okay.
I think I was 39.
So, you were a Marine and...
22 years.
You were a Marine for 22 years. How old were you when you enlisted?
17.
Did you know that you wanted to be a teacher when you came out of the Marines?
No. I was the officer in charge of weapons training at School of Infantry. Okay. And a high school was visiting, and they kind of talked me into giving it a try.
Talked you into becoming a teacher?
I was retiring, and the instructors were talking to me, and they told me they thought I should give it a try. So I checked into it, I submitted my application to get certified. I got certified, and I got a phone call from the 1st Marine Corps District saying, we have a job for you to interview for in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And I went, what? Where? Massachusetts? Really? But my wife had relatives in Boston and East Boston, so I came up, got the interview, got offered the job, and showed up.
Now, where were you before that you came up this way?
In 1980s, I think it was 1984 and 5, I was in Medford. Okay. Because I was a recruiter for 2 years in Medford.
Okay.
And Cambridge.
Okay. And so did anyone kind of train you or give you any kind of inkling into what it would be like to be a teacher, a high school ROTC teacher?
No, none at all. As a matter of fact, I think...
It was an on-the-job training?
Right. Now, you have to have certain qualifications to get certified. You had to be an instructor, and I had been a chief instructor. I had been an OIC. I had been an assistant director of division schools. So I had an education background, but not in high school. And the first year or two, the first year in particular, very challenging. And about halfway through the second year, you kind of got a feel for it, you know, because at School of Infantry, I was dealing with kids right out of high school. They just graduated basic training. They came to School of Infantry to learn how to be an infantry Marine. Mm-hmm. And they're young kids, 18 years old. But they never say no.
Right.
And so the first time a kid said no to me, honestly, if I was going to be, no, I think it was a boy, and I honestly and truly, if I want to be honest, I wanted to choke him, but I didn't, thank God, or I wouldn't be here.
That's true.
The girls were actually, like yourself, were easier to deal with because as an infantry Marine, I never dealt with the women Marines at all. We didn't have them in those days anywhere near us.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a good thing. And so for the girls, I just expected them to say no to certain mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that. I said no to PT 4 years of my life, and I kind of regret it now. Having back surgery and all these kind of injuries, I'm like, oh.
If you'd have just stretched.
If I had just stretched and not faked my period for 4 years, my God.
I've learned from that, though. I have learned from that.
I will tell you, I mean, and this will come up later, that I've heard some stories every time I talk about you or talk about ROTC, how many females are like, oh, you know how many times I'd be like, oh, I've got my period. And Gunner would always be like, 3 weeks in a row? I'm like, yep, that was my move. I knew that move really well.
Yeah, because that's a fact, because I started like kind of remembering after a while and saying, wait, what's going on?
Are you okay? Do you need to go to the nurse to check that out? So how you had now, I couldn't even try to do the math on how many students you've had in the 23 years that you've been here. So you must have dealt with so many different personalities in an eight, was it eight blocks?
Seven.
Seven blocks.
Thousands. I think there's been thousands of kids. You got to average, we average, right now we have 130. Next year we have signed up 130, 140. And the school population is only around 800. So, yeah, so you figure a couple of thousand kids.
Oh my God.
And there's, we have the whole spectrum. From the girl who's at BC from last year, that got a scholarship from the Air Force, you know, honor student, president of NHS, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, to the kid who's struggling. Mm-hmm. And then the other kids that just have all the other problems that kids have.
Now, how do you kind of even level that as a teacher going into this?
Well, it's really hard, and I think it takes some people years. It probably took me years to realize that there's a lot of classes in this school that they're taking that are probably more important for graduation requirements than mine. But I also believe that if you show some kids some compassion, that you eventually get through to them, which is what I've been preaching the last few years to my cadet leaders, is leadership with compassion. If you don't have compassion, how can you be a leader? Everyone has issues. Everyone has things that are going through, and they got to get through them. As give the kids a class earlier in the year is that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life when you come to school. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there when you get out of school. But when you're here, you have to try and get over it, because until you can't just go through the whole day, I'm having a bad day because this is bad at home. Because as you know, when high school ends and college ends, if you go to college, adult life begins. And all those problems are still there except magnified. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn to adapt and overcome. And that's what we're trying to do.
And it's so tough, you know, as an adult-ish now, looking back, you know, that one thing that bothered me in high school, or that one thing that, you know, upset me at the beginning of the day, it's like, why was I upset about that? That was so stupid. It's, you know, and, you know, I have a 20-year-old niece, and I see kids nowadays that are so upset about this. It's like, this isn't going to matter in 3 days, 20 days, or, you know, I play cornhole right now with some younger kids, and I'm like, oh, I just want to shake you. I promise you, this is stupid. What you're worried about is so stupid. There are bigger issues coming down the line. Trust me.
Right.
Going also, you know, I know we're in a school and you're an educator, so you can't really say much, but I will say this from my own personal experience. I will say that what I've learned through ROTC and through you, I will say that half the other stuff I learned through school, didn't stay in there. What I learned through ROTC is still in there.
Well, I think that we're trying to teach some life skills, coping skills, and there are certain things that, you know, I see every day, the classes that kids are taking, that I wonder, you know, what are you going to do with that?
Exactly.
And it's a wonderful class, and it's knowledge is power, as we all know, you know, the cliche. But I took all those classes in high school, and I'm trying to figure out when I used it. And then I have been told by smarter people than me that, well, you use it every day and you don't know it. So I'll live with that. They taught me it. I'm using it. I don't know it.
As someone that is now, you know, like and I've said this on the podcast, so this is my own personal opinion. There are certain things that I feel like had they prepared or had classes like this about, you know, finances, like life finances, about educating you about your body and like stretching and, you know, how to move your body in certain ways so you don't injure yourself. Your parents are going to get sick, this, that, and whatnot. Keep your mind in gear. You know, there wouldn't be so many of us that are struggling with anxieties at this point. It's like, I'm not prepared for this. Hmm. You know, I've been working with a council member as well to work on certain courses and workshops to prepare for stuff. As parents are getting sicker, or people are getting sicker in general, you know, I'm seeing my friend's parents pass away at a younger age. And it's like, it's no longer our grandparents that are getting sick. And it's like, oh my God, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. You know, so these life lessons, like Spanish ain't going to help me with that. I mean, it might in some sense. I mean, I didn't take Spanish, or let's just say I failed Spanish, but whatever. But I will say that if it wasn't for you, well, I honestly wouldn't have survived high school.
I wouldn't have graduated. And that's kind of, that's what I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's the, that's when I look back and think, okay, so we made a difference. And I see a lot of the kids come back that were not, a lot of the kids who come back and visit me were not what I like to call ROTC heroes. Mm-hmm. They were just your average kid who came to class, did pretty much everything they were told to do, and got on out of here. And those kids come back and show me their kids and introduce me to their wife or husband. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, we did something good.
I know those heroes you're talking about.
So I just think that, you know, I think there could be a lot of classes like this. I've given this a lot of thought as I started to think about retiring, that I think that this is a course that could be taught. And I know that there are some people that say, oh, man, well, I'm going to never let my kid do that because it's military and they're going to get my kid to join the military. And, you know, I would say that 98 or 9% of the kids who take ROTC do not join the military. It's a very number. Mm-hmm. When you look at all the years combined, I mean, right. Some years that's what kids do, and other years, and that's not my focus. That's probably never been my focus for kids to join, unless a kid walked up and said, "Hey, I want to join and mess somebody up," and I'll go down and I won't go there unless somebody asks me. But I remember going to one young man who is still in the Marines now, and he's an officer. I won't mention his name, but I remember going to his house with his parents when the recruiter went over there. I could hear what they were saying, mm-hmm. because sometimes salesmen are silver-tongued.
Yeah.
I don't think they lie to kids at all. Mm-hmm. I just think that sometimes there are questions that aren't asked. And if you're a salesman, you don't answer questions that you don't get asked.
Fair enough. So have you ever had a student, you know, you didn't think would join the military and then surprise you that they did?
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Just
where you were like, you're joining the military?
Well,
you're gonna
they'll do come this? Back after they've done it. And I look at them like, really? And just this last year, now there were two twin girls that were here, graduated a year or so ago, and I got a phone call at home, mm-hmm. saying, "Hey, Gunnar, I just want to let you know I joined the Marines." And I was like, "What? Really?" And well, it didn't work out for her in the Marines. As a matter of fact, she didn't go in because, you know, she didn't get the job she was supposed to get. So she wound up, her and her sister both joined the Air Force, and now they're in the Air Force and they're doing great. But it's just like you said. I mean, I think that was a matter of them not really thinking it through. Mm-hmm. And because when I said what, I was thinking, you'll do great in the military, but that might not be the right branch for you. Mm-hmm. Because contrary to popular belief, they're not all the same.
Right.
They have the same jobs. They have the same benefits. But different personalities fit different branches. And I was lucky enough to pick the one as an angry young man that fit me.
So thinking back to your first year as a teacher here and this being your last year, what are some of the lessons that you've learned?
Ooh, I learned a lot of things because, like I said, I came from a male-dominated field, and then I started dealing with young girls and boys, and then I started hearing things that just confused me from them. And I believe that in 23 years, I have gone from a fairly closed-minded, I'm not going to say I was ever an ultra conservative because I don't think I ever was, but some conservative thinkings on certain subjects to a very open-minded person that really believes that, you know, humans are humans and each person knows, or I think they know, who they are or who they want to be. And so therefore, I've pretty much, it's a live and let live. I hear some of my friends like, how can you ever support that? And I was like, you know, I'm not really political, but I don't know why, I don't know what's a good issue. When people got upset about gay marriage, ooh, mm-hmm. probably getting myself in trouble. I could care less. Mm-hmm. If two people love each other, what does it matter?
Right.
So I probably got in trouble with some people out there for saying that. But that's just an issue that to me, you know, 23 years ago, I would have been on that other side like, oh, no, that should never happen, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, long before 23 years, I came to the realization that, you know, there are people living together their whole lives. Mm-hmm. Happily, as a couple, mm-hmm. why should we tell them they can't be married? So, things like that. So, I think they've really opened my mind. And now, in the last few years, there's really even other things that I don't want to get into sure. that just confuse me.
Right.
But hey, it is what it is.
So you feel like being an educator, that kind of opened your eyes to things that if you weren't an educator, you wouldn't necessarily have had your eyes open to?
I think maybe not being an educator, but I think having the opportunity for 23 years to work with young people mm-hmm. has opened my eyes to things. I think I could have been doing something similar with young people mm-hmm. for 23 years, and I would have come to the same realizations.
Okay. So what... out of the 23 years, what has been the hardest part of being a teacher or a mentor? Or
deciding to retire.
Okay.
It's pretty hard. Most people look forward to retirement, and I am now trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I've grown up. You know, I've been retiring for 3 years now. Every year, some kid
you
comes
were trying to
me.
Retire after that first year. What
Maybe.
Are you talking
That's
about?
Possible. But every, you know, a couple years ago, I said, I think I'm going to retire. And I hit the 20-year mark. And then I had a student say, oh, no, don't retire. You know, stay for my senior year.
Oh.
And then I did. And then it
must
happened
be
again.
Some student, huh?
And then it happened again. No, just it's not one.
Mm-hmm. It's a few.
Sometimes it's the younger ones that will ask you.
Yeah.
You know, I was asked that again this year, and I said, you know, you guys will be fine, and I'm graduating.
Nice. So will you spend more time with your grandkids? Because now you got some grandbabies.
I know, and I got more on the way.
Woo!
Yeah, and they're awesome, and I hope to be able to, and I'm sure I will be able to. But I'm hoping to be able to figure out how to split my time between Massachusetts and Florida so that mm-hmm. I get a chance to be with all of them. Because right. My grandson lives in Florida. So
during the winter, I hear, is really lovely.
It's nice. It's nice. I've been there. It's actually nice all the time. In the summertime, for some people, they think it's too hot. But yeah. I've lived in the tropics, and right. I like hot. Yeah. You know, but my problem is I like the cold. I mean, people think I'm crazy, but it's very, I hate it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I'm out there with a snowblower going through the snow, it's enjoyable. It's peaceful. I have my headphones on. I got my Steppenwolf and my Led Zeppelin and all those things rolling in my mind. And I am at peace.
Nice. So is there a particular year in your 23 years that's more memorable to you than others?
Ooh, there's a couple. I think the first one is pretty memorable. I still know the names of a lot of those kids. Mm-hmm. And I think 2008, because I had left Gloucester for 2 years and went down to Lynn. And
I remember that.
I got no problem with the kids in Lynn were awesome, mm-hmm. believe it or not. But there was something about Gloucester. My kids all graduated from here. And I remember going to the English and Gloucester game, and I had been on Paul Ingram's staff, kind of a bit player. Mm-hmm. But I had been with them, and I walked up to them before the game because my color guard was going to do it was in Salem that year, I think. Some weird, they were fixing Manning Bowl. And I walked up to him and shook his hand and said, hey, good luck. And then I opened up my jacket and I had a Fighting Fisherman t-shirt on. And so I thought that was pretty funny. So, but when I came back in 2008, the ROTC had, I don't know, between 2006 and 2008, in those 2 years, they did okay. I seen them at competitions and stuff, but the numbers had gone down. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking when I talked to them about coming back. They said, oh, you have 100 kids. And then I got back here and I may have had 100 kids in the seats, but I had like kids in my class twice a day and stuff like that. And so there really wasn't close to 100 kids, but we rebuilt that. But that year I came back and I told those kids, if they listened to me, that we would go to Daytona and win the national championship. And first of all, they told me, well, we don't have a girls team. We don't have enough girls. I said, okay, just wait. And then I started going to the cafeteria and finding freshmen. One, to join ROTC, and then two, to put on the drill team. That year, that team went to Daytona and was second in the nation overall and won 2 of the 4 events. They came in first in the nation. And so that one's pretty memorable.
Okay.
You know.
Very nice. Congratulations.
It wasn't me. It was all them.
Fair enough. But they believed in you, so there's that.
Yeah. You have to believe to achieve. Old cliche.
Right. Now, as an educator, obviously, 23 years, there's obviously students that pass on, either through, you know, the military or just in general. Has it been hard for you to see that happen as well?
The hardest one was Stevie Guerrier.
Yeah, that was tough.
He was the hardest one.
That was tough.
And you know what? Denny Martin was tough.
Mm-hmm.
They're all tough.
Right.
There hasn't been that many of them, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one happened, and she was just a freshman, and I didn't really know her very well, and that was Ashley Richards in a car accident. And but that one was hard, but I know that Dennis Martin was really, really hard for me, and so was Stevie Guerrier, really right. Hard.
So I had, you know, obviously I don't want to talk a little more about that, obviously, for out of respect for their families and whatnot. But I was speaking with a few other educators recently, one being Kim Sawyer, who used to be here for the STEP program.
She's great.
And we talked about the times where I would skip chorus class because I was being bullied. And instead of being here in your lovely office, which brings back so many memories, I would head down to the STEP program and how we set up for the STEP program to have uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
And do drill, yeah. And they got inspected when it came down to the Massachusetts State inspection and whatnot.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. That's with Ricky Moore and those guys.
And Duncan, yeah.
And they did really well. You know, they weren't actually part of the inspection or part of our... but I would say that it was more part of you kids doing, like, community service with them, or mentoring might be better. I remember them doing quite well. You give them a command and... you know, hand salute and forward march, and they really dress right, dress. And, those are good days as well. I have a picture of that somewhere here. I might have taken it home. I have a picture of me and Ricky walking in a parade. from that period of time.
Because they made that into a class for a time.
Yeah, for students, for those kids, yes.
For the kids, actual students to go down to work.
And mentor them.
Yes.
Yes.
All because I skipped chorus class.
There you go. So good things come out of stuff like that.
Yeah. There was also those times where I would come in here because I threw desks at people, but that's beside the point. I still remember that kid's name because he wouldn't push. I ride his boat from time to time on booze cruises.
That's funny.
I don't bring it up to him, but that's okay.
Is that Mike?
It is Mike. It's one of my favorite stories to tell still. To this day, I tell it at least every 3 months. People still don't believe me. Now it's on record.
There you go. It's a good kid, too.
Still watch Renaissance Man and think about it every time. So you obviously talked about, you know, how students come back and talk to you and show you pictures of their kids and introduce you to their significant others. So clearly you have a general idea of the impact you have on,
I guess,
on people.
I think so, maybe. You know, I just think that I'm trying to treat them all like people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I had a student who's, I don't think I should get into that. Just
okay,
but
fair enough. Off record.
Off record.
We'll talk about that off record. Fine by me. But you know, I was at someone's father's passing funeral, and we were discussing something, and she was discussing her time in the military, and I was like, were you in ROTC? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, and because we were almost the same age, I was like, how come I don't remember you? But also I was older. And she goes, yeah, I love Gunner. I was like, oh my God, I love Gunner, you know, and we're talking about all of our stories. And she's like, yeah, you know, she was talking about how they went on some trip to Camp Lejeune or something like that, or and I was like, well, we used to go to Fort Dix. And she goes, oh, you got to go to the Fort Dix trip? I'm like, I did. We were the first trip.
That was a heck of a trip.
That was a heck of a trip.
I remember all those guys. I had Mark Fernandez and
Randy Harnish, your son came. And yes. Your son just stood around and hung out. And I remember, because it's still my favorite story, where the DIs would torture us because of Kelly. Because Kelly stomped on their foot in the mess hall the very first day, and they came for Gloucester. They had it out for us all week long.
But that's because I told them to.
You did? You're an asshole.
No, you wanted to get the experience.
Oh my God. They came on our floor and tortured us. We hid in our wall lockers because of them.
They tore the rooms up.
They did, and we were in our wall lockers.
We call that a tornado.
Oh my God. We heard man on deck, and then we heard them just scream Clark, and we jumped into our wall lockers. Our particular room, because I was with Marion, Liz, Clark, and I remember they also pulled the fire drill in the middle of the night, and she was in the shower. And we were out there in our in pajamas, and I wanted to kill her. I was in my age harness, and I wanted to straight up murder her.
So that's the one we cameoed our faces up for,
yes,
graduation, and
yes,
Colonel Welsh was not happy about it.
Sure did. That's so. I was talking about that the other day. I had said something to somebody, and I was like, "I know how to camouflage my face." I still remember. I have those photos, and I remember you actually camouflaged your teeth, and I still remember to this day where you just your teeth, and I was like, oh, that is rough. We also set up a trap for one of our seniors that was there. It was a great time.
We had fun there.
But yeah, I mean, that was also where I learned how to fold my, you know, make my bed and do the tight corners, which I don't do because now
hospital corners.
Yeah, I got fitted sheets now. I don't have to do that. But still, those right. In the club, and I'm like, yeah, with the Fortex. It's also where we saw the World Trade Center drive down there.
When they were still there?
When they were still there. I mean, it was also laying on the ground on the field watching the flyovers as the planes. I mean, you know, how many high school students can actually say that they did that? I mean, nowadays we didn't have cell phones at the time, so you know, we were at our own vices and whatnot. But I just wanted to honestly say thank you. Once again, for the 4 years of experience, and I apologize for 4 years of torture with me, between me, you know, having certain guys push other ones in chokeholds against walls because they were assholes, but, you know, that was the power I had in all those drill team trips and stuff like that. And, but, you know, it is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and it's National Teacher Appreciation Day. So I'm going to pause this, and I have a little bit of a surprise for you.
Okay.
So I hope you're going to be prepared for it.
I'm ready.
I might actually, you know what? I might actually just play it from my phone and keep it. I think you might be a little surprised by this.
Hi, Gunnar. This is Jennifer Mizoraka.
Class of 2001. I would like to thank you for your service to Gloucester High School. I signed up for ROTC freshman year only as a way to get out of gym class. What I discovered, though, was that you had a lot to teach me about values, about leadership, and really about life. You always had a very distinctive and fun teaching style in which you always treated the cadets like they were adults in charge of their own education. You did not take crap from anyone, and all of the students respected you, even those not taking ROTC. You were always one of my favorite teachers, and we got to know each other pretty well over those 4 years. The way that you structured the ROTC program as the years went by and I was promoted through the ranks from private to first lieutenant, I got more and more responsibility and the opportunity to train and lead the younger cadets. The skills that I developed in ROTC I took with me into college, graduate school, and now into my career in industry. I heard that you are retiring, and I wanted to say thank you one last time for the positive impact that you had on my life.
Gunnar, this is Peter Canavo. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me, Gloucester High, and especially the Junior ROTC program. You embody something special at our high school. You left behind great memories and life lessons that we will carry throughout the rest of our lives. Gunnar, I don't think you realize the positive impact you had on us. You taught me courage, you gave me confidence, and you taught me leadership. You're a wonderful mentor, and your teachings do not go unnoticed. Clearly, that's why Bridget Ernest asked us to share a few words, so we can just express the good man that you are. Thank you, Bridget, for including me. It's an honor to share some words on Gunnar's behalf. I just want to share a quick memory. Gunnar took the class out one sunny day, and we walked over to the riverside, and we came across a muddy puddle of water, and Gunnar demonstrating survival skills. So he pulls out his canteen and filled it with that murky, dirty Gloucester water, and explained to us about iodine tablets and how it kills the bacteria in the water. So Gunnar proceeds and drops the tablet in the canteen and closes the lid and shakes it for 5 seconds or so. And then he begins to drink it. I mean, everybody was looking at him like he was crazy. But I looked at him and I thought to myself, he's a savage. He chuckles a little and says, not bad. His dry humor was the best. It was gold. Gunnar, you dedicated your life to our country and to the students of Gloucester High. You are one of the most selfless men I've had the honor to come across. Truly the definition of a hero. I hope you can enjoy your retirement and spend all that time with your family and friends. Your grandchildren are lucky to have you because those war stories never get old. Thank you and congratulations on your retirement. Goodbye.
Hi, Gunnar. It's Annette Barco, your favorite person.
Annette.
I just wanted to call and say,
in New Hampshire, right?
A big thank you for
Annette. She goes to my she's my friend
never
my
giving
daughter.
Up on me even when I was definitely not a
I'm soft now.
Person at all. You know, we had to
got him, guys.
Somebody that
got
actually cared about how I was doing during the day and you know what my goals were in life. And I thank you for your continued friendship. And the school is going to be a huge loss without you. I love you. Bye.
Hey, Gunnar. It's Aaron. Can't believe you're actually retiring. You've been an inspiration to all the cadets and future Marines out there. I would not be the Corporal of Marines I was, or even am, without your guidance while I was sent over to Okinawa and I was sent to Korea. You've been a big influence on my life, from walking into your little utilities closet with all the uniforms, with my long hair, and saying, you're going to get a haircut, right? And I look at you and I say, yes, sir. And just started right there. That I knew I wanted to be a Marine. Not a day goes by that I don't think of your class, how fun it was the drill team, marching, Daytona Beach, all the fun times we had. I just want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for all your help and guidance. And I know I can always count on you if there's ever a downfall in my life. And if there's ever anything that I need, I know that you're one man that will always step up to the plate and help anybody who ever needs anything. So I just want to say thank you, and thank you for me being such an inspiration, not just to me, but to all the Marines out there who are Semper Fi. Have a nice day.
Hey, Gunner, it's Kayla Pinkham from the class of 2006. First off, I just want to say thank you for your service as a Marine, as well as the many years you have taught at the Gloucester High School. You have been a huge influence on me in school and my personal life. There are not enough words or time in the world to explain the kind of person you are and the amount of respect that I have for you. You have taught me to be a leader, not a follower. You've helped me through my good days and my bad days and have never let me down, even when I was that stubborn teen. You were and still are always there for me. And was also very generous enough to send me a pair of ROTC gym sweats for my 30th birthday, which, by the way, are still my favorite and are very warm. It just shows the kind of person you really are. And even though I was your student over 10 years ago, you still show you care and keep in touch. I don't think you have a mean bone in your body. I could honestly go on and on about you, but I'll leave time for others. I cannot thank you enough for being the person you are. I'm so glad that you are part of my life and that I can call you my friend. I wish you good health, good luck, and great success in your retirement. Congratulations, Gunner. It is now time to enjoy life.
Hey there, Gunner. This is Blair, DHS class of 2004. I want to wish you a happy retirement and thank you for your service to this country and your service to the community of Gloucester. I really appreciated all that you did for us when I was in the ROTC at Gloucester High. And I know that there's hundreds, if not thousands, of other men and women out there that are better for your mentorship and the program that that you ran there for so many years. After I graduated from Gloucester, I went on to Purdue University and was in the Navy ROTC battalion there, which is one of the largest in the country. And day one, I was way better prepared than the other midshipmen that were in that battalion. And that's a testament to the program that you ran and the mentorship that you provided that allowed me to that set me up for success there. And then ultimately, I went on and commissioned as an officer in the Navy and served as a submarine lieutenant for about 6.5 years before getting back to civilian life. And it was an incredibly rewarding experience and one that I'm proud to have undergone. And I really appreciate you paving the way and shepherding me and many more like me through the dark anxiety of adolescence into the dawn of adulthood, and setting us up to live more self-confident and successful, productive lives. In many ways, I think we come from a generation of lost fathers and wayward existence, and I think that you really took us and molded us into people that can be more productive and happy, so I thank you for that. On a lighter note, I have I recall a story from my junior year when we participated in a drill meet at, I believe it was MIT. And although we were pretty good that year, for some reason we were doing horribly at this one particular meet. And about halfway through, you had enough. So you proceed to post this information and just give us the most prolific ass-chewing I think I had experienced up to that point. And it's punctuated by you toe-blasting this this boundary cone, which takes a mean hook and ends up dinging off Kevin Philbrook's forehead in the front squad. So everybody is too terrified to even blink, and you kind of pause and then slowly walk up to him, and I think everybody was kind of wondering if you were just going to finish him off right then and there. But you leaned in and very quietly just said, "I'm sorry about that." And then you dismissed us, and we went out, and we crushed the second half of the competition, and we kept laughing about it on the bus ride home. And I don't know why that sticks in my mind, but I thought it was a very... it's a story that, in my mind, really embodies the experience that you brought to us. It was a little bit of tough love. Sometimes you got a boundary cone off the forehead, but you're better for it. And again, I just want to thank you for everything that you did for us, and wish you a very happy and healthy long retirement. Thanks a lot, Gunner, and Center 5.
Hi, my name is Sarah Bondarev. I am calling with a little blurb for Richard Mew's retirement. When I heard that Gunner was retiring, my heart sank a little. He is just a staple to the Gloucester High School experience, regardless of your involvement in ROTC or not. And I'm going to be forever thankful that I was one of the many students whose life he changed with his wisdom, his encouragement, and his time. And I really just hope that his retirement is full of McDoubles and barbecue Fritos, and he will be greatly missed around that school.
Just to get them for the shooting.
Hey, Gunner, this is Jackie, formerly known as Gross. I just wanted to not only thank you for your 20-plus years of service in the Marine Corps, but I also wanted to thank you for your 20-plus years of service to not only our community, but ROTC communities around Eastern Massachusetts. You've been such an inspiration to so many generations in the MCGRTC programs, and I can't thank you enough for being not only a positive role model for so many of the students, but also for being inspiration and a mentor. And, of course, I will never forget the time during my senior year where we recapped my first year in Daytona, Florida, when you found out I took down someone twice my size in 30 seconds and said, watch out for this girl. She may be small, but she's stronger than she looks. And, of course, I carried that throughout my time in Marine Corps. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for everything you've done for all of us. And I hope that you will go on with your future endeavors, as the professionals like to say, and that we love you.
Hey, Gunner. It's Lisa Cusimano Gray, and I would just like to thank you for your leadership, guidance, and mentorship. Even when you may think no one was watching, I always was. You are one of the main reasons and people that made me want to be a Marine. I can never thank you enough for making me want to serve my country. You're an amazing Marine teacher, mentor, husband, father, grandfather, and a man in general. Gloucester High School will be losing you, but also the city of Gloucester. You did so much for the community. You may have retired from the military a long time ago, but you never stopped serving your country in different ways. You will be truly missed. I wish you the best of luck in your real retirement this time, and enjoy those grandbabies and your family. Lisa. Bye.
Gunner Muse, a mentor, a friend, a leader to many. He was like a second dad to me in high school, always trying to keep me out of trouble. ROTC was one of the best things that ever happened to me, and being on the drill team, it helped me prepare for my future as a United States Marine. I learned so much from Gunner throughout the years until even today, present time. He always stays in contact, follows through, follows up, and really sets the tone for everyone to emulate. He is truly going to be missed by many. Good luck with all that you have going on in your future time. I miss you more than anything, and I wish you nothing but success. Hoorah and Semper Fi.
Hi, Sarah. This is Chris Evans. I just heard about this, and I thought I'd call in. I really appreciate everything you've done for all the kids in Gloucester, especially me. You helped me to lead into a beautiful career in the Marine Corps that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for you. And I deeply appreciate that. And I know you've impacted many lives in the Marine Corps as well as at Gloucester High School. And you will be missed. Thank you. Semper Fi. Hoorah.
Again, this is Rick Moore, former math teacher at Gloucester High School. I'm calling in for Rick Muth. And I got to tell you, one of the biggest forces, figuratively and literally, that I ever worked with at Gloucester High School. And what's cool about Rick, he brought that Marine experience to a level of compassion and understanding with kids that is unparalleled. Rick was a fantastic, fantastic teacher. The other thing is they always felt safe in that building, knowing that Gunner was on duty. A great guy, a super coach, a very tremendous supporter of all things involving high school kids. Going to be missed at the high school. Wish him all the best in retirement. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There you go.
Is that it?
That's it.
Wow. That's awesome. I wish I could get a copy of that.
Oh, you will. Don't you worry. So, I reached out to quite a few people.
That's amazing.
And we will just say that there were some people that surprisingly got back to me. Some people that I haven't talked to since maybe junior year of high school. So it was a big, bold step to talk to them. I was like, woof, okay. Wow, this is a big move. So I got them, guys. I got them to cry. I got them.
I did not cry. I did get some dust in one of my eyes, but I did not cry.
Get a little bit of allergies? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something in the air.
Yeah, it must be something in the air.
It was very touching. It was very surprising.
Yeah. I the minute the first message came through, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can listen to all of these messages. I'm like, oh, there are a few. I'm like, oh, boy.
Those are all great kids in different ways.
Yes. Yes. So I did reach out to a few. They'll probably get the message after this gets posted and be like, oh, I missed my opportunity. I had a Facebook creep on your page for a long time. I reached out to a lot of people after your retirement post, too. And I was like, hey, this is not a chain letter. I'm doing something really big. I even had some secret Facebook posts that you were not privy to that... surprise!
It's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, you know, I honestly did not realize I wouldn't say the impact, because obviously the impact that you've had on me, obviously the impact you've had on these kids, they're now all adults at this point, but I didn't realize how many of them were Marines or in the military themselves. I was like, well, shit. I mean, most of the ones I talk to are military. So I was like, okay. I've had some great conversations with everyone that's reached out helped me put this message together for you. I'm sure that the other people that I did reach out to wanted to be a part of it.
I really appreciate it. It's pretty awesome. And, I just feel that some of the stories get embellished as the years go on. I'm not sure I didn't kick a cone or throw a clipboard or lose my stopwatches or any of those during drill practices, though the stories abound of me breaking clipboards and stopwatches.
I never heard any of those. I can only attest to the ripping of newspaper off the fishbowl, standing on the desk.
That was educational.
The yellow bird. I heard the yellow bird has changed throughout the years. Yes. Because I did bring that up with someone, and they were like, I don't remember the yellow bird. And I was like, how could you not remember the yellow bird? I'm like, and then someone else is like, I remember the yellow bird. How would no one know the yellow bird? I'm like, exactly. I mean, if you know Gunner, you got to know the yellow bird. I'm like, that's a thing. You know, obviously, I will say that one week in Fort Dix, it was memorable, memorable moments that we all still talk about.
Did you ever get to eat a lizard?
I did not.
No.
We
used to eat lizards behind the school.
The salamanders?
Yes.
No, I think I was a little too creeped out about those. No. At that time, I was, let's just say my culinary tastes were a little close-minded.
Mm.
But since then, I mean, now I'll eat alligator and octopus. And
live salamander.
Oh, it's got to be live? Come on. I don't do seafood. That's not a thing. That's a little rough.
Crickets.
Yeah, I've done that. I mean, you know, mealworms, yeah, fine. Okay, whatever.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm a, you know, 9 years in California.
There you go.
I've lived a little. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, as we get older, the stories, it's kind of one of those things where people like, that didn't happen. And then you meet up with other people and like, oh yeah, that did happen. We remember that, you know.
I like the drill team story because I think that the issue with me is that when I'm watching people not perform to what I know they can do,
mm-hmm.
it's not about the winning. In reality, it's about them actually doing what I know they can do, mm-hmm. or performing to their level. And when you don't perform at your level, you know, sometimes it takes some type of drastic means to snap you back into where you belong.
Yeah.
I have a great drill team story that I remember that down at New York Military Academy, where one of the boys got hit in the head with a rifle and was bleeding, and he never moved. He stood at attention. And the judges panicked and ran out and called timeout so that a corpsman could come out and put a Band-Aid on his head. And I was just standing on the sideline, and they're like, what's the problem? So I walked out there, and they said, well, what's the problem? I said, we'll take care of it after the performance is over. He's not moving. But I was proud of him, for he was not going to give up a point for his team. For a rifle in the head.
Listen, when I got the rifle to the head, I went down. And I went down hard, and I was not coming back up. I was like, nope, I'm out. That's it. I'm done. I had a big old chunk of my head missing. I'm out. Nope. I think that was my last year on the drill team, too. I'm pretty sure of it. There was a lot of happening.
Well, you missed out on the unarmed girls team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was true.
Which became a real staple of ours for a few years.
I think that also kind of established like my junior or senior year, and I think at that point there was other things going on. I also think at the time that we started the drill team, we were that ragtag team that wasn't really taking anything seriously. We just wanted to go to like Fort Dix and like break tables and stuff and beat people with soap and socks.
But if I remember that team, they went to a drill meet in Connecticut and brought a trophy home.
We sure did.
So
yes.
That's been kind of, and I think I learned that from some of the, I remember the old great Gloucester cross country teams that would show up and they would beat everyone, and they just wore a uniform that just had a G on it. Mm-hmm. And we went to some of those drill meets, and the teams had fancy warm-up jackets and they looked beautiful. And the idea was you don't have to look pretty, you have to drill pretty. So that was the idea.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, there's certain days where I'm still like, oh, I could just wear cami pants right now. Everything would be fine. Like, I remember, like, you know, nowadays, like, oh, laundry day. If I just had camouflage uniform, I'd just throw that on and be fine. You know, still doing those iron creases and the Irish pennants. I still get my little nail clipper out and like, You know, there's certain things that are still instilled in me from all that.
That's good.
You know, at certain points. You know, I still can flip a rifle if I wanted to. You know, still can do the sword swinging. You know, there's certain things. They're in there. They're trapped behind other things and other memories, but they're still in there.
That's awesome.
23 years later. But they're still in there. But anyway, so on the wrap up, once again, want to thank you again for your service to our country and your service to the community and your service to us as students here at Gloucester High School, and to Lynn. We'll give them credit because I totally forgot about that. I was away at the time. But once again, you know.
I want to thank you for doing this, and I think, honestly, the pleasure is mine.
Aww. Well, you guys have an award ceremony next week.
The 16th, and anybody who wants to be there can obviously come and be there.
Okay, and what time is that?
from starts at 6 o'clock, 1800 in the auditorium.
All right, so we will get this posted. Obviously, I'll tag you,
all right,
and you post awesome. This, and you know we'll get this all started, and get this all going, and stuff like that. But I want to thank again everyone that took part in this message, special message. I've already done some pre-recording and stuff, so I'll do some editing, and we'll get this out there for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.